Dr. Wright. Before I get started, we have two individuals on the phone. I believe it's Sandy, Ms. Sandy Schrink.
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Here to support the inmate, or are you here on behalf of the victims?
I'm here on behalf of the inmate.
Okay.
He's my brother.
Okay, thank you. And is that the same for Ms. Angie Gossett? Are you with, supporting the inmate, or part of the victim?
That is correct.
Okay, so I'll make sure, because we have a certain order to how we conduct the hearings, and we'll give you a chance to speak later in the hearing. Okay, Mr. Gossett, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you say your full name and ADC number for the record, sir?
Jeremy Gossett, 081640.
Thank you, sir. Just one second. You are appearing before the Arizona Board for executive clemency for a 31-412-8 hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on the video conference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench working toward me. We have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed Board Chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. And my name is Luigi Neal. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. I'd like to begin your hearing with a summary. Mr. David Gossett, ADC number 081630, is 66 years old. The crime of attempted murder in the first degree occurred on or about July 24th, 1989. He was approximately 36 years old at the time of the incident event. He was also on probation of Indiana for misdemeanor counts of battery, little mischief, little recklessness, and carrying a handgun without license, in which he was ordered not to have contact with the victim in this case. Does this sound correct so far, Mr. Gossett?
Yes.
Thank you. He pled no contest and was sentenced on September 14, 1990. He received 15 years for kidnapping and 21 years for attempted murder, respectively. He appealed his case, which was affirmed on May 26, 1992. He has a criminal history, which includes arrests for shoplifting, burglary, probation violations, resisting arrest, traffic violations, battery, and possession of marijuana. It should be noted that the incident offense represents an escalation of violent behavior. I'll read a summary of the current offense in question, and this is from the pre-sentence report, and it will just be a summary, Mr. Gossett. On July 24, 1989, Mr. Gossett followed Ms. Tammy O'Neill, his ex-wife, and the victim in the incident offense from her home in West Phoenix to her place of employment in Mesa. Mr. Gossett got out of his car with a loaded gun in his hand and approached his ex-wife and stated that he wanted to talk to her. He grabbed her car keys from her hand, at which time she noticed he was holding a gun in his left hand while he held her with his right hand. Ms. O'Neill saw people in the parking lot and began to scream. She also noticed a UPS driver driving his truck toward them and honking his horn. At that point, she tried to turn and run away and was shot three times by Mr. Gossett. And again, Mr. Gossett, that's a very short version of the event. According to Mr. Gossett's institutional progress report, he has had limited programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections. He has a release plan, which includes seeking an interstate compact to Indiana and receiving support from his sister with a statement that counseling or program will not be necessary. He's had significant disciplinary issues from 1991 through 2018, with his last major on May 23rd, 2018 for fighting. Also, there is quite a history of disorderly conduct while incarcerated. This is his eighth hearing before the board, although his last appearance was in 2003 for the kidnapping sentence, which has since expired. He has no letters of support, his parole request packet, at least I didn't find any, but we do have two supporters on the telephone this morning. We do have numerous letters from the victim, her supporters, and the case prosecutor, who I believe knows the U.S. Attorney's Office, thank you, sir, which all strongly oppose parole. Mr. Gossett, this is the first opportunity for the current board to get to know you. Can you tell us about the offense that resulted in your incarceration and why you think you should be considered for supervised release? Thank you, Mr. Gossett.
Yes, the incident that happened is just, I still can't believe that I did something like that, especially with somebody, you know, that you're somebody that, you know, you've been doing for years, number of years. I just, every day, I think about it, and I just can't believe it, because it's there, and as well as, my ex-wife has to live with her every day, and I'm sure she does. And other people, my family, it just, I just can't believe that I did it. I never shot a gun with her, I never owned a gun with her, and yet, you know, this happened, and it just, the story of the day, this is the pain that I caused everyone, and
you mentioned, and I'm paraphrasing here, that you didn't have any history of shooting a firearm?
Right.
Did you have a firearm violation before you came to Phoenix with the firearm that you purchased?
Well, that goes back to that gun that I bought. That came out of Lincoln. That's the only weapon, like I say, I know. I never shot a gun. I'm from the quite a hunting and fishing area in the small towns of the world.
Also, and I think this is out of Marion County, Indiana. Was there also a battery charge in that case, sir? Did you have a previous arrest for battery?
I'm not familiar with the battery charge.
Okay. I'm only going by your criminal history that was provided in your original sentencing report. But there's an earlier arrest dating back to 78 in Seymour, Indiana for battery and for mischief. It was dismissed. But did you have a history of violent confrontations with your ex-wife, Mr. Gossett? If I'm not mistaken, this case is about shooting your ex-wife, correct?
Right.
Okay, did you have a history of violence with your ex-wife?
No, not sure how the last year we were in the process and back and forth and trying to make it worse.
And were you ever not to have contact with your ex-wife before you left Indiana?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
So, what was your mindset at the time that you would purchase a firearm and travel cross country to Arizona to make contact with your ex-wife? What was going on with you, sir?
I was so depressed. I was lonely. We've been together for over 7 years, and then the last year it was on and off, and I quite frankly didn't know what I was thinking. That's why I say like that. So to shoot somebody, and it's not really anything else, it's so long. design group, and we are also part of the agent on any of the roads. We've got a group of them, four roads, two roads, to take a type of class, or anything like that. There's just not much, you know. I and if my health got so bad, I was still working. I do jobs, you know, that I could do.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you have had some programming in DOC. All I'm saying is that they want attached to the packet, and that's why we ask, so that you can account for that. I am curious, though, why do you feel that you won't need any counseling or programming if you are released on some sort of community supervision?
Well, I'm not quite sure how that works, or I mean, if I need it, if it's not something new, you know, I'm glad to do it. I haven't been talking hardly anything, and this new way of coming to the world we live in today, I didn't have a COP or talk to me about coming in here or anything. It's just like I'm new to work. But I mean, I'll do anything. And it's like I say, you know, the most harsh stipulations on me, and I'm the driver. I'm not everybody in terms of choices. It's just, there's no way. I know this.
Thank you, Mr. Gossett.
What's the rest of
it? Perfect. That's time of year. I've noticed that you have an release credit date of September 30th, 2020. Is that what you understand, Mr. Gossett?
I guess I don't have any paperwork on that.
Pardon me, I'm not here to notify you that. I'm just going by the information that's provided to us by the Department of Corrections and release eligibility.
Right.
The question was, what are your plans? Because this is not a life sentence. It is not indefinite. It would seem that you have a firm sentence end date of July 22nd, 2025. Again, that's information provided to us from the Department of Corrections. So, what are your plans for returning to the community?
My plans to grow up home, and be around my family, and try to work with my children. I have a lot of friends that are going to return me, but let's see what they do, because now I'm going to a wheelchair, and I just, something to do with bills or anything like that would be a job that I'm not physically, able to do a lot of that. But I've got a lot of friends that, involved with your help, and my family, I just haven't seen my family. I've been out here, so far away and such, and I want to know my family. So once I don't know anymore, I don't want to get out of my roots or anything. I lost my stepmother, like I said, and my dad, and I'm 4 years old, both my grandmas, and my mom is 90, and she's just very young now. Like I said, I'm the youngest one. I just want to help my family. Anything I can do. And that doesn't include coming back to prison. That's not possible.
Mr. Gossett, why did you try to kill your ex-wife? I'm not quite understanding what your motivation was.
I don't understand that.
Procedural errors on the part of the Department of Corrections, which doesn't mean the incident didn't happen. It just means Corrections made a mistake and didn't serve the papers in time or something. But many of these, and all we get is just the name of the violation, the title of the violation, but they're verbally threatening, physical assault, threatening staff, disrespect, staff obstruction, lying to officer, fighting, two fighting in a row, threatening with harm, assault with weapon, smuggling contraband, they go on, and the seven disorderly conducts for which you were actually found guilty, and those were majors. So, and you say that shooting your ex-wife was not you, that was not, doesn't describe you. It sounds like that does describe you, based on your behavior, which is as recently as 2018, for the guilty for a major for fighting. So how do you explain that? It's very confrontational behavior.
I explain that by it's quite a bit of rhetoric in the prison system, and just any little thing you can do to do for for a conviction, you can have officers to run, but why do you? And I've never a bunch of feathers over there, situations and such, but I am fighting tickets. One thing, I'm a manager. I have a whole lot of money signed. These fighting tickets, they're ridiculous.
But Mr. Gossett, you use profanity to staff. We have actual write-ups of the incidents, and you use profanity to staff. Why?
That's what they say. That's what they say. That's the greatest way to see all the people who are around you, and they will see, they'll say what you cuss at. And if you look through them, I have a standard officer, emergency system, who is getting people in trouble, and he said I was counseling, but finally, exactly the same ticket as you wrote it off. And I said, I'm getting so tired of it. And lo and behold, there was an officer that was standing outside my room when this happened. And while he was every morning, I had three of the tickets, officer was going to get out here and say, hey, the man never cussed, the man never used it from the day I had never heard of it. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, if we look back years ago, you won't see things like that for me. It just, times have changed. And times are changing even more than this system. And it's terrible. It's terrible.
All right, Mr. Johnson, I'm going to change the subject. We received no court documents. Usually we receive the sentencing documents with the packet, but this one we didn't for some reason. And I'm wondering if there's restitution owed, because the pre-sentence investigation suggests there might be. There was about $3,000, that was the amount around that. So you were saying you were not ordered to pay any restitution then?
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kenyon.
Thank you, Alderman House. Yes, Alderman Mr. Neal. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I would like to, kick a dead horse, so to speak, but your disciplinary was, it's to me, it's somewhat unbelievable. We get people come before us for parole hearings that have spent 25 years in prison on some of the worst yards in prison, and they have three or four violations for 25 years. But this means you've had more violations since you moved to your second sentence than you had before that. And a lot of these show. Well, see, I believe that you were housed in the infirmary when you got the ticket for fighting, which you were found guilty of as a neighbor. But a lot of these violations, disorderly conduct and threatening, you were in the infirmary on ADA status. You weren't around a whole lot of other prisoners. You weren't in a position to be tricked into doing something that staff would catch you at. You just. I guess the expression we use seems to behave. And you are now in front of the board wanting to be released early. And one of the major things the board looks for is we have to look out for the safety and well-being of the citizens of Arizona primarily, because that's where you would be released to. And then in your case, you want to go back to Indiana, so we have to worry about those people too. And you have shown that you get close to a parole hearing and you still can't follow the rules. And that's amazing to me. You've had 14 violations in the last 5 years. Nine of them are majors. And you've had three in 2018. You've actually five tickets, but you're only guilty on three of them. And so I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on the ones that were dismissed or you weren't found guilty on. But like Ms. Rittenhouse said, just because you weren't found guilty doesn't mean the incident didn't occur. But the other thing is that a lot of these, you've lost time, you're earning credit dates. I don't know if they're accurate based on these or whether it's got to be recalculated or what, but a lot of your violations, you lengthen your time left in prison before you could be released. So it's, to me, the clear indication you're not thinking properly about what's going on and about the fact that you think you want to get out of prison. Well, yeah, you know, that's, I'm trying to get, solicit something in the way of comments from you that might explain some of this. So far, my fellow board members haven't been able to give any satisfactory answers out of you about this.
Well, if you know the question there, how about all the way up to 2012, and that's when it's really changed. 2012 now, it's all over the state.
Fighting. I mean, if you're too sick to be out in the yard, how can you be wild enough to fight with somebody? And if you're fighting with staff, but the other thing I hear, I'm going to ask you a very pointed question, okay? And I'll give you the basis for my question first. The basis for my question is, you're in prison because of some very, very, very violent acts against your ex-wife. And so my question is, why is this behavior continuing inside of prison? Why have you, in all of this, you're blaming the staff and the prison system not accepting your own responsibility for what you've done inside. So my question is, do you think it was your ex-wife's fault that you shot her?
Absolutely not.
Well, why are you blaming somebody else for your actions inside of prison? I doubt that the prison staff has the time or the desire to trick you into violating the rules all the time. And there's a process in there. When you get written up, you go through a process. It's kind of like a little trial, and it's reviewed by senior staff. And they would dismiss a charge because the staff that wrote you up made an error in the way they did the procedure. Not because you didn't do the time, but because you didn't, or they didn't follow the procedures when they wrote it up. So, but you keep talking about all these things, they write you up for everything and everything else. You're blaming them for your own deficiencies. And I just can't understand why you're still doing it, why you'd be doing that this time when you're actually trying to convince more that we should release you back into society. It's just amazing to me.
I'm not blaming anybody else. There is on the officers and such. And if you're, you know, just believe that, then wow, and even in the hospital, they run wild in those injuries. They're showing inmates the hospital should be in here. I wish I could get up and run around and do all this and be in the injuries. I don't understand that. And I know this, because there's nurse in there all the time. It's just...
Who is they?
I'm really.
Okay, but you don't get... Inmates don't get written up. And inmates don't get written up for disrespect to other inmates. Inmates, get written up when they assault another inmate. They get written up when they are disrespectful to staff. But you bring up when they disobey the orders of staff, not when they disobey the orders of other inmates. So you just come up, you have just a myriad of excuses for all of your own poor behavior. So, okay, thank you, sir. One for the suggestions.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Dr. Wright?
Thank you, sir. not when I was listening. I was going to ask about these disciplines, but I won't, but it came to my mind in listening to Mr. Bossert is that I remember maybe 20, 30 years ago, there used to be a song somebody used to sing, but not a musician. But I guess my question would be to Mr. Bossert, but that song used to say, why does everybody keep on picking on me? Everybody just pick on you. I mean, we sit here, we have people coming before us every day, young, old. I never heard as many recent disciplines that you've had. It just sounds like to me that everybody's just want to pick on you for no reason. You've done anything wrong, everybody else is wrong. The guards are wrong, the inmates are wrong, everybody just keep picking on you. I'm not going to ask you to even respond to that, sir. But I do have just a few questions for you. Now, what happened, now back to the incident offense itself. Okay, after you shot your ex-wife, what did you do then, sir? Well, it seems to me, and maybe my information is wrong, this is not a public record, but maybe it's wrong, it seemed to me that you attempted to run away from law enforcement, flight from law enforcement. Why did you run away from law enforcement? You committed this crime, so why did you decide that you would run away, sir? Or did you try to run away?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Well, let me put it this way, sir. Were you... And this is not, I haven't read this now, were you drunk? Were you on some kind of drugs? What was going on in yourself, sir, that made you do that, sir?
No, nothing like that.
See, but you still don't know why you did it?
No.
Very interesting, sir.
I love to sleep.
And that's your period. Okay. Let me move on. For time consideration, let me move on, sir. Now, if this board decided to release you and you were successful in getting your interstate compact approved, go back in there, and because of your ADA situation, what would you do in Indiana? Would you work, or would you just...
Sure.
What would you do, sir?
I have family, I have friends, I have seen.
Your mother is 90 years old, 90 years old in that area, and we feel for her, and we do understand that, but right now I'm trying to get to know you better, and what would you actually do once you were back in Indiana. Let me ask another question, sir. Do you have any relatives or supporters in the state of Arizona, sir?
No, I'm not one, sir, in Arizona.
Let me think hypothetical. Let's suppose that this board decided to place you on home arrest or general parole or anything, and your interstate compact did not come through. What would you do? You would have to stay in Arizona. So what would you do, sir?
Well, I don't know anything to do with Arizona, but sir. I'm convinced. I'm almost positive. Any others not going to be around me. I didn't tell them I was staying in Indiana, until all this happened towards the end of the world.
Let me ask this, sir. What do you have in your mind? Not mine, not nobody else, not your relatives, not your friends, nobody else. What do you have against Arizona, sir?
I don't know how much it is. It's too hot. I'm
Okay, so let me ask another question now. Well, when you were blaming everybody for, you know, what was going on recently, you indicated something to the effect, this is not a direct quote, but you indicated that you are not, this is my interpretation of what you meant, maybe you didn't mean this, that you did not have, that your CO3, and that's not his or her job, but your CO3 did not give you sufficient notification of this hearing. According to the information that I see here, you were notified of this hearing back on March 18th. The day is April the 17th. You were notified almost a month ago, and that was not enough time for you to get yourself together, sir? A month, less than one day, you were notified, at least you signed. I won't say you were notified, maybe you just signed something because they put some papers in front of you. But you actually signed this. Your signature is on this piece of paper. And this is dated, sir. March 18th, 2019.
She told me for the last 8 weeks that she was living with me and had taken about 2 hours to run over and run to something that was real. That's exactly what she was. I don't see where I was notified.
I'm going to say something positive about you, sir. You're an intelligent man. You could have prepared this yourself, sir. You see, if you were illiterate, but just sitting here, you know, the last, what, hour or so, or a little less than an hour, listen to you, you're an intelligent person. Why do you can't you do something for yourself, sir? You depending on everybody else to do something for you, sir?
That's not true. I've done so much in the years to help
No, I'm talking about you now, sir. I'm talking about why didn't you prepare to be on your way out of here, and rather than depending saying that the CO3 just neglected you. That's what I'm just trying to figure out. Why you putting it on the CO3 and someone who's as intelligent as you are, you could have put on your own work to have everything already completed in 29 days or 30 days before you came before this board, sir.
Because that's what you told me.
So that I can get myself out, not depending on some CO3 to get you out. You got to prepare yourself to be ready to come before this board. But that's okay, sir. Thank you so very much, and thank you so very much, Mr. Kamani, sir.
Thank you. At this point, I am going to ask your supporters who are on the telephone that they would like to speak before the board. And based on the list that I have in front of me, I will begin with your sister. So, Ms. Sandy Schrenk, are you still on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, ma'am. If you can state your name for the record.
My name's Sandra Schrenk.
And what would you like to share with the board, ma'am?
Well, I know that my brother is very remorseful about what he did. I don't know why he did it. I have no idea. Never had guns. I've never touched a gun. I never saw him touch a gun. When he was here in Indiana, before he went to Arizona, we all tried to talk him into not going. He wasn't, in my opinion, he wasn't in his right mind. He was, yes, as he said, depressed. He had been in Georgia. Tammy took him to a job, was going to pick him up, and she left him. He had to find a way back to Indiana from Georgia. Nobody picked him up from work. I think he didn't know what was going on. Now that's only one-sided because, bless her heart, I never heard from Tammy. But we tried to talk him out of going out to Arizona, all of his family. And he just was not listening. I know he's remorseful. I know that he has a place here to stay if he gets to come home. I think he deserved to pay for what he did. Absolutely. No question about that. I think 30 years is a very long time. I live in the state of Indiana. It's totally different. But I just know that he's very sorry, and his family couldn't believe that he had shot Tammy either. Tammy was a very nice girl. I have not seen or heard anything from her for over 30 years, so don't know what she's doing. I assume that she's leading her life. And yes, some members of the family, especially our stepfather, who was a father to us, has passed away, and my mother has quit eating, and she's not going to be here long, and yes, she'll be 91 next month. I think that David is very remorseful for what he's done. I certainly hope so. I can't even imagine picking up a gun and shooting anyone. I'm just not sure what else I can say other than I do love him. I've talked to him. I've tried to help him through the years. I will continue to do that. He's not been in society for 30 years, and it has changed dramatically. I am retired. I worked for 48 years, so I am retired, but I am still working part-time. And I will be glad to help in any way that I can.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask the fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Okay, I don't have any questions for the fellow board members. Ma'am, I'm going to move on to Ms. Angie Gossett. Ms. Gossett?
Hello?
Yes, can
yes,
you
say
your
sure.
name for the record?
Yes. This is Angela Gossett.
And?
Go ahead,
ma'am.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, what would you like to share with the board this morning? Thank you.
Well, I'm sitting here listening to several of these people talk. I'm not sure exactly who they were, but there's some, I might be a little scattered here, but there's just some things I want to say. My dad's 66 years old, and society has changed a lot. You know, there was no cell phones back then, internet, laptop, DNA, GPS. And to hold him for another year, I'm not sure what that's going to do. He needs to get out of the society. I disagree with his, he needs anger management. He needs to be held to anger management classes. And he doesn't need to be released to Arizona. He has no family there. That's a setup to fail. He needs to come back to Indiana to his family.
Amen.
Yeah, I just don't understand the gentleman that said, you know, release him to Arizona. That would just be totally ridiculous. He needs to come home.
Well, ma'am, if I may, he will have to be released to Arizona when he eventually transitions to community supervision. He won't have the ability to come straight to Indiana. He has to apply for an interstate compact. I just want you to understand that.
Okay, can you say that again? You're going to release him out to Arizona.
No, hold on. I didn't say we're going to release him. What I said was when he's eventually released to community supervision, because he is eligible for his early release credit date in 2020, he will be released to supervised release under a community corrections officer in Arizona, and then he will have to apply for an interstate compact. I'm not going to get into the finer points. I just want you to understand that when that date comes, he will have to go through a process.
Yeah.
That's not something that the board decided.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Does the prison get him ready for release, say in a year, or is he just, definitely dad needs counseling and to just, leave him in there for another year with no help or guidance or some counseling? Is he seeing any counseling, or is there any type of thing like that you guys offer?
We're not the Department of Corrections. We're the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We're an independent board. We vote on clemency cases. That's a question for the Department of Corrections.
I thought you were representing them. I'm sorry. I misunderstood that.
No, we're an independent board member. I do appreciate your question. I'm going to ask the full board members any other questions for you.
Excuse me?
I was asking my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. They do not, so did you have anything else, ma'am?
No, I guess that's it.
Okay, thank you for appearing before the board. We will keep you on the line and continue with the hearing. We'll check right now to see if there are any other people in the boardroom who are supporting Mr. Gossett. We see nobody. I'm going to move to victims representatives. So I don't know if we have a lead. Yes, go ahead.
So my name is Carrie Garrison. I'm a victim advocate at the Department of Corrections, and I'm just speaking to the time that the inmate has to do, because I had to have them do a recalculation at time comp and everything. So I just want the board to know the exact time. The inmate is with the new audit. The inmate is scheduled release date is January 29th, 2020, which he would be supervised on parole until October 29th, 2020, at which time he is done with the Department of Corrections. He does have a sentence date, end date to July of 2025. However, because of case law, he was able to earn early release credits, be eligible for parole hearings, and then that last 5 years from 2020 to 2025 is an unsupervised parole. So Department of Corrections cannot hold him past October of 2020, and then at which time he would be released and then be like on an unsupervised parole.
Thank you. I recognize that you're not the expert in this matter either, but is it as an opportunity to learn, will he be eligible to leave the state?
He wouldn't be supervised, so unless he got into some contact with law enforcement or arrested for something.
Okay. Just answer that question.
And just to clarify, if he were released in January 2020, then he would be supervised on parole with us until October 2020. But if he wasn't released in January, then, yeah.
that they do. And... Okay, if you can establish the order, I appreciate it.
So we're gonna have the victim speak.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, board members.
Can you state your name?
I'm Tammy O'Neil.
And what would you like to show the board? I recognize this is emotional, so whatever you can...
I've got a lot of emails, so I'm aware of things that happened in the past, but this wasn't a one-time incident. The whole time I was trying to go through the divorce, Mr. Gossip terrorized my whole family. He pulled a gun on my 7-year-old niece and my brother-in-law. I don't know why he bothered my family. It was between him and I. He terrorized my mom, my uncle, my sisters, chased us down with brass and nickels and tire tools. This wasn't, he's depressed. He threatened to kill me. It wasn't a threat, it was a promise. When I got the divorce final on 88, I left the state. The whole time all this was going on, he got me pulled aside a few times. And I said, why are you doing this? You have a daughter. You know, go on with your life, let us go. I left the state after the divorce, came across the country. He didn't let it go, he came after me. They called me from Indiana and said he showed up for a hearing in Indiana, and they found him guilty, and he would be on arrest, have the ankle bracelet. I started my new job, went to work that Monday. He left the court. They didn't tell me there would be a time span in there before all this would happen. He left the court, got a gun, came out to Arizona, and shot me. But when he gets out, it's not just me that I'm worried about, but he's gonna come after my whole family. My whole family is still there. I'm just asking you to deny parole, to keep him as long as we can. I do believe him. I believe that when he does, I want to go back to jail. When he gets out, he'll kill me, but I won't catch him this time. I do believe that. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I don't want to prolong this. I would just ask for protocol if anyone has any questions. But thank you so much for hearing from the board. Thank you.
Time we're going through this. And David Gossett tried several times to make contact with me. The day that he hid inside my house, the police came out and he called me after the police left and let me know he was under the trailer next door the whole time. I don't believe this was not premeditated in any way. And I'm agreeable with Tammy that if he gets out, I'm more concerned about my mother and my uncle and the rest of my family that's still in Indiana, and that she's not around. And he said he's sorry, and he, you know, he doesn't know why he did it. The whole time we were going through the trials, and the first few times we went before the board, he sat there mouthing, why are you doing this to me? She didn't do it to me. He did it to her. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions from the board? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman Wright, honorable board members. Thank you. My name is Patrick Schneider. I was the prosecutor in this case 30 years ago. I've been a prosecutor for about 32 years now, both federal and state. I know you've read my letter. I just want you to know that this is, Mr. Gossett is the only defendant of thousands I've prosecuted who have ever appeared before the parole commission on and asked that they deny his parole. Obviously, I saw Mr. Gossett back when this case rose. What I saw then was a man who was obsessed with his ex-wife and was determined to see her dead, no matter what that took. Obviously, I haven't had a great deal of contact with him in the last 30 years, but I listened, as you did today, to him as he appeared before the board. And what I listened for is the same thing I listened for in every case that I handle. I look to see a defendant who accepts responsibility, who shows remorse, who tries to understand why they did what they did, and who indicates that they've made attempts to try to correct where that came from. I don't see that with Mr. Gossett. I understand that the prison is not a perfect environment. And oftentimes there might not be as much programming as a person wants. It's not a perfect place for anyone to live. But should he have chosen, he did have the opportunity to avail himself of some programming. How he can 30 years later say that he doesn't know why he did what he did, and it was because of depression, I just don't get that. I mean, every day for the last 30 years, Mr. Gossett has had the opportunity to do some soul searching, to think about what drove him to do this on that day. If he's truly remorseful, be honest with himself and be honest with this board about what it is that caused him to do that then, and what he's done in the interim to make sure that this will never occur again. I can't look into the future and tell you what he will do when he gets out. I can only tell you based on my experience what my feeling is about Mr. Gossett. I realize he's aged. I realize he's got some physical infirmities. But I honestly do not see him having moved on from this issue. Tammy, God bless her, is a very brave woman. She and her sister appeared every court hearing that there was while this matter was pending, and they've come back for the parole board hearing. It's difficult, as you can see, for her. Every time she comes back here, she relives what happened to her. But even worse, what happened to her is, in essence, her life was taken away from her that day. She didn't die, but she lived her life in a whole different way than she would have had she been free to go on without Mr. Gossett in her life, without having to worry about the day that he's released. I do fear for the day he's released. I do fear for her. I fear for her family. And I would ask you, if possible, to please keep him in as long as possible. Thank you. And I don't know if you have any questions.
No, thank you, Mr. Schneider.
Thank you.
Good morning, board members. My name is Catherine Ferguson Gilbert. I work in the Family Violence Unit at the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. This matter was assigned to me, and without knowing whether or not the original prosecutor who prosecuted this case 30 years ago would be here, I chose to attend given the serious nature of this incident. I've been a prosecutor of Maricopa County and the Family Violence Bureau for 3 years, prosecuting serious homicide cases involving domestic partners. I've been with the county for 4 years. Prior to that, I was in Texas, both as a defense attorney and a prosecutor for 6.5 years. So I have actually been an attorney since 2003, and I have, like Mr. Schneider, never appeared before a parole review board in Texas or here. And I'm coming here today because I recognize the serious nature of this case and feel that this board needs to realize that the defendant still poses a danger to her. After hearing some of his comments today, I'm likewise in agreement with Mr. Schneider that this defendant appears not to have learned his lesson and to be making excuses. I know that the board has certain legal obligations, and that is under the statute that applies to this hearing, ARS 31412A, this board must find that he is that there is a substantial probability that he will remain at liberty without violating the law, and that the release is in the best interest of the state. I would submit to you that neither of those conditions can be met in this case when the defendant has several of these minor infractions in custody as recent as 2018 and comes before you with all these excuses. It's always someone else's fault. And he is a threat to citizens of the state of Arizona, and specifically he's a threat to the victim in this case as well as her family if he returns to Indiana, where all of her family is located. I can't speak to the victim's whereabouts. I haven't discussed that with her. You've heard, though, that she's had to go in hiding to remain free from him. And I believe, like Mr. Schneider, that the defendant means it when he says that he will not return to custody. And I would submit to you that means that if he has plans to kill her, he is not going back, which means he will either be on the run or he will take his own life. And based on the facts as I read them, I believe that's probably what he intended that day. And after 30 years of soul searching, I'm not sure why he can't come up with some understanding of what was going on in his mind at that time and why he committed this crime, other than that he, like most DV offenders, was not going to let this victim get away, dead or alive. So, Your Honors, and Honorable Board Members, I ask that you find that he has not satisfied the two conditions required, that this board is unable to do that, and that you remain in custody for the longest period of time possible. Thank you.
Thank you. I usually ask if there's more questions, but I think you covered quite a bit.
Thank you.
Do we have any other victim representatives?
No, that's it.
Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Gossett, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you do not repeat anything that you have already shared with us. But this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know and understand before we go into discussion? Thank you, sir.
No, that's okay.
Thank you, Mr. Gossett. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you will just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The board is now in discussion. All board members, I will keep it short. Simply stated, based on the violent nature of the crime, the lifetime of trauma caused to the victim. And Mr. Dawson's recent disciplinary issues inside the Department of Corrections include a considerable amount of disorderly conduct. I have serious concerns as to whether it will only serve the interest of justice, the interest of the state, or whether he is capable of complying with the conditions of supervised release. Kind of law here, so and that is where I'll be in the discussion. Thank you. Yes, the Honorable Gilbert.
Thank you, Mr. Quinones. I'll restrict my comments to the stack of summaries of the incidents, and these, I believe, are just from 2015 through 2018, and there is violent behavior that continues to be threatening behavior, violent behavior, profanity that continues to be used, and I believe that a person's behavior, past behavior, is the best predictor of their future behavior, and I believe this supports that, and I would not be in favor of parole. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Arlene Rittenhouse. Mr. Neal.
I tend to agree with my colleague. The issue of discipline to me indicates that we still have a basically violent nature, and location where all these occurred are very common, docile locations within the prison system, not out on the other, with a lot of inmates that can be aggravating and also self-deep. So I don't feel that at least at this time would be in the best interest of the state, of citizens in the state, or the victims. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Neal, and Dr. Wright.
Simply put, I'm one of my distinguished colleagues.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. We're going to make a motion. That is regarding Mr. David Gossett, ADC number 081630. Our motion is to deny regular parole absolute discharge or home arrest, and based on the year of the incident offense, I'm asking for a one-year set-off, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, be upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Again, I'm asking for a one-year set-off, means type 9, regular parole, absolute discharge, home arrest. Reasons for denial are as follows. Serious and violent offense, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury, victim harassment, prior criminal history, poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infractions. Are there any other reasons for denial that anyone wishes to add? Yes.
Yes, please add multiple victims.
Okay, thank you.
And violation of probation or parole.
Yeah, I'm going to take on that. Thank you. Sorry, multiple victims? Anything else, all board members? Okay, Mr. Gossett, the board has voted unanimously to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. Did you hear our reasons for denial?
Yes, I did.
Okay, sir, well, you heard the discussion about early release credit date and dates, at least to the best of our understanding, based on Department of Corrections calculations. So, if there are no further questions, I'm going to bring this hearing to a close. Thank you, sir. This will end our hearing.